If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I am very fortunate to have Illini guy beat reporter Matt Stevens, who covers the football team, and Illini guy director of recruiting Kedrick Prince, who covers all things recruiting. And we are talking about the wide receivers and running backs for this year's Illini football team, giving you a little bit of a preview, a little bit to think about. But before we do that, we have two stories that we're going to talk about a little bit. One of them being that USC has a they have an NIL collective that is coming to support the football team against the wishes of the school. So this is a very interesting story that broke today. And we also will talk a little bit about the Big Ten's presumed TV deal. And just to get you guys familiar, what it looks like right now is that the Big Ten will be paid in excess of $1 billion a year for their television rights. And what that looks like on the football side is that there will be a Fox game at 11 Central, for those of you in the Central time zone. And that Fox game will be probably the best game of the week, although, you know, we can debate, you know, some people have different visions on that. Then it, then we have the 2:30 Central game, which will be on CBS right now, it looks like. And CBS, of course, used to have the SEC. They're now paying six times more for the Big Ten. And then the 7 p.m. game in primetime looks like it will be on NBC. And then, of course, either Amazon or Peacock, which is the NBC streaming, will have the streaming rights and will probably broadcast at the same time as the other games. And additionally, you could see other games on Fox's cable, you know, different stations. So, and of course, the Big Ten network stations. So you'll probably have every Big Ten game broadcast, but this time on a contract that's going to be very, very good for the Big Ten. And the reason that we're bringing this up is, of course, a lot of people revealed it today. And of course we found out that, you know, if you go back in time and you listen to Eye on the Illini and you listen to our episode on June 30th, that was, the Big Ten expansion changes the face of college athletics. And of course that was season two, episode 45. If you go back and take a look at that, at the 20 minute and 15 second mark, we actually hit that over 6 weeks ago. So Matt, looks like we ought to have a job as a prognosticator. I wish we were as good at picking Mega Millions and Powerball numbers.
I was good. If I had won the Mega Millions, Mike, I wouldn't be on this podcast. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you as my boss. Like,
yeah.
You're one of my bosses. I can sit here and tell you right now, I wouldn't be doing this podcast with you. That's for darn sure. Maybe I would, and I just wouldn't, you know, have a whole lot of, you know, other responsibilities. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
My thought is that there are a lot of still, I think, balls in the air on this. And the reason I say that is because I think the networks have got to figure out everything, what they want to do. I am floored by the idea that CBS is going to play five times as much for what looks like the number two game in a conference, because since I think 1990, when they entered the agreement with the SEC, the 2:30 slot has always been the number one ranked SEC game. And I mean, I covered it since 2009, and I knew what the pecking order was. And if CBS wanted your game, they were first in line. For them to be two in line and pay five times as much is just flooring to me. And it also is interesting to me. I think everybody's got to figure out how championship weekend's going to work. And what I mean by that is, I assume that the primetime Saturday night slot for Fox is still going to be where the Big Ten title game is. Like, I have to believe.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm sorry, but CBS is just left without a chair in this musical chairs roundabout we're playing here.
But what do you think the odds are?
That's where I'm confused about.
What do you think the odds are? It won't take the Big Ten very long to have the first team in the East take on the second team at the West, and the second team in the East take on the first team in the West. And now all of a sudden you have three games that you can, you have your semifinal and your championship. Ted, you like the idea of that? I know you're Mr. Tradition, so this has to have you just going, ugh.
No, but what I do like, though, you know, since we cover the Big Ten in Illinois, it shows who the king is going to be in college athletics. I like the TV stuff. I like the money, because you know what that does? That is going to help every institution, whether it be academically, definitely in football with attendance. It's going to help schools, I mean, like Illinois, that traditionally don't have a ton of money like compared to Ohio State. But I think when those funds are allocated, I think it's going to help them. And I love the fact that they're basically telling people the Big Ten is the king, and, you know, we can sit here and sugarcoat it. We know they're going to add more teams. And maybe some of these networks know who those teams are, but the way I look at it, they've got the market corner, and I like it. We've all grown up watching, like you said, the ABC game, 2:30 game. Yep. It's always been Big Ten, and seeing them on different networks is going to be great. I'm excited about it. I think that part is good. And you're right, I'm a traditionalist, you know, but that part I do like, just to see them broaden, you know, their brand. Because from a recruiting standpoint, I mean, how do you go into a home and you can and tell these recruits this stuff, and it's going to work, you know, to your advantage, because everybody wants to be a part of it. But, you know, when I talk to these recruits, and this is no knock on some of the other conferences, but it's always the Big Ten and SEC all the time. When you talk about, do you have a conference preference or what conference do you like, they'll say no sometimes, but they're intrigued by those two conferences. So I think it's great from a TV standpoint. Yeah, I'm kind of struggling with some of the new teams, but then again, you know what? It's the new way things are going to be. And like, you know, we talked about it before we got on the air. You know, this is going to, in 2030, you know, I don't know what this is all going to look like.
Yep. Well, Matt, yeah. you seem to really look excited by my idea of having a semifinal game, which that way, at least right now, the way things are going in the East, at least Penn State or Michigan could get their shot at Ohio State.
I don't like it in the sense that they tried it in the weird COVID 2020 year, and it just flopped like a fish. I don't like it. My thought, I go to two thoughts, which is Ked said it right, that they've cornered, I would say the Big Ten has cornered a market. And I'm curious as to, you know, Mike, you've put something out on social media, what was it, Tuesday morning, that was like, and I have the same curiosity, which is fan behavior. I mean, let's just be real. I'm 38 years old, and I am conditioned to watch College Game Day on ESPN and then flip through the noon games, okay? Let's just call it what it is. That Fox pregame show has not caught legs yet. And although Big Noon Kickoff has marketed itself in a really, really interesting corner market there, okay, where they have, I mean, again, I'm quoting my buddy Andy Staples, It's in their freaking name. They're not moving off that noon slot. It's big right. noon kickoff, right? right? I kind of wonder, you're having two dynamic entities here, but you're also having two philosophies here. Because if your big game is at noon, well, guess what the SEC and Mickey Mouse is going to do over here? Their big game is going to be that primetime slot that they feel like a whole bunch of people are going to watch. And so is the 7 o'clock prime slot going to get more eyeballs than the big noon? And is our pregame show at, you know, 10 a.m. going to do better than the Fox? I mean, that's basically what you're talking, what like that's the two competing entities here. And so that's kind of what I'm interested in. I'm interested in seeing how that kind of transpires. And if people are just conditioned to do it, I'm interested in how many Big Ten fans are going to order Peacock if they're forced to. And I don't know what the thought process is there. I mean, there are a lot of baseball fans that can't watch the Cardinals and the Cubs right now because Marquee and Bally's haven't really done their due diligence in terms of getting a cable deal put together, or a streaming deal for that matter. I have YouTube TV. I can't watch the Cardinals. So it could go that route. I'm interested in seeing how these networks are going to work it, because you and I both know, Mike, that like, no, NBC still has a contract with a big school in South Bend that they're still going to do their games. So my thought process is that NBC is going to need more talent and more people to do that Big Ten game that they're now going to be assigned to do. And the last part of it is I'm interested in seeing, you got two schools in California that are on Pacific Standard Time. How many times are they going to have to eat the noon Eastern time kickoff? How many times are you going to put the noon Eastern time kickoff on in LA? Or how many times are you going to make UCLA or USC play a road game on that big noon kickoff? Because you need eyeballs. And so those are all things that are going to have to be sorted out. And I'm fascinated by how those things are going to get sorted out.
Yeah, I think you'll see. We'll never hear about it unless it happens, but I think you'll see renewed interest in talking to Notre Dame, because then that gives you, if you're NBC, you've already got them, let's say, for 8 games or whatever. You put 4 Big Ten games, you know, that they're on the road. It depends on how they want to cut the pie up, but you certainly all of a sudden now you could mix Notre Dame amongst those things. I think you also take a look at what you want to do with, I still think Texas A&M would listen, you know, and supposedly, according to all the articles, there's escalator clauses in these contracts for additional schools to come in. So it gives the Big Ten a chance to look at somebody and say, yeah, not you, but I like you, depending on, you know, what school they're looking at. And so to me, you know, you've got USC, UCLA, big marquee games. You got Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, Iowa, and then you have whatever teams are coming up that are hot. And that's where, you know, Illinois wants to be, as opposed to, you know, the game that's always going to be on the Big Ten Network or, you know, Fox Sports One or, you know, whatever. You just don't want to be that guy every week. And it's going to be very interesting. And you know, the marquee matchups, I think the Big Ten is tougher top to bottom. It has been maybe than the SEC, but they don't have the weight at the top. And, you know, it's a very interesting, by bringing in USC, that makes things change a little bit. And of course that leads us to what USC is planning to do with a donor run NIL collective that is coming to basically provide a salary to all 85 scholarship athlete football players. And USC doesn't want them to do that, but I'm not certain. Can USC stop them? I don't know. You know, I and then if you're a player and you're going to go to USC and somebody comes up to you and says, here's X thousands of dollars, whether it's, you know, 25, 50, 100, whatever it is, somebody says, I'm going to give this to you, are you going to say no? Even if you're told to say no.
Can I answer that, both of those?
Yeah.
The first question is, can USC stop them? No, they can't. Like they conceptually, they are under the rule book they're supposed to, but realistically, no. It's the thing that, like, if you want to put it in Illinois perspective, it's the thing that Josh Whitman and Brett Bielema and Brad Underwood, like, stay up late trying to, like, worry about, which is somebody's going to break the rules and there's not a darn thing we can do about it.
Right.
And I give them this. There's the booster that's leading this student body right collective. I don't call it NIL anymore because that's not what it is. It's pay for play. This pay for play collective is basically saying we're going to do this, and there ain't a damn thing that USC can do about it, and there ain't a damn thing that the NCAA can do about it. And if you don't like it, tough. You should have treated me better when I was a booster and we were under different rules. And so I'm not sure that Lincoln Riley's all that angry about this, because I'm not real sure that there's any, you know, NCAA enforcement that's going to come in and be able to handle this. And this is the Pandora's box you've opened. And if a pay for play collective wants to go ahead and do this, guess what? There are other schools in which they're doing it too. And I put it out on our boards over at Illini Guys, is that if this is the case, and this is what, and basically if USC, this student body right, which I think ought to be called the Aunt Becky collective, should have been, is going to put all 85 scholarship players on Southern Cal on a salary, on a monthly salary, like their, I don't know, employees, they'll easily have the most collective money at any Big Ten school, and it won't be close. And this is the thing that Ryan Day just wanted to scream to the hills about, because he's like, look, we're behind on this, and we're going to be behind on this. You need to help me. You guys need to help me on this. And he is screaming for millions and millions of dollars, because he knows that if this is going to happen, by the time USC gets into the Big Ten, they are going to be so far ahead of everybody else in pay-for-play collective money. It's going to be a joke. And
well, it's hard to predict for sure. But
but you look at what Lincoln Riley and USC was already able to do in the portal.
Yeah.
I mean, well, look, I'm telling you right now,
where do you go, Ked? If you've got a player who comes to you, Ked, and he says, hey, I can get a college education from a degree, you know, like from University of Michigan, or I can get a college degree from USC, and the USC degree comes with the same scholarship, but I make $100,000 a year, and I'm going to be there, let's say, for 5 years because I'm going to redshirt. That's $500,000. I mean, if you had one of your players came to you and said, what should I do? What would you tell him?
Well, I know a guy named Kofi Coburn. Yeah. Not the same situation, but kind of the same situation. That's a lot of money. You have no idea what your future holds. And to me, it's a no-brainer. You go to USC, same conference. It's a good school to get a degree from. It's a no-brainer, and it gives them an advantage. And like we were saying before, it's other schools in the Big Ten who have stepped their game up, because they not only just want to be the Big Ten, but nationally, they're going to go out and just – why would you not? Why would anybody – and I hate to say this, because people who don't have any common sense will turn that down. Because it makes no sense to me, because you can invest that money if you get hurt, you know, if there's long-term things, if you do things right, that money's going to be there for you. I mean, and to be honest with you, I mean, for a college kid to spend that much money a year, I think it's kind of ridiculous. So, you know, I like it. I mean, it's kind of scary where this is going, you know, and eventually the NCAA is just going to just be done with it, and then people are going to do their own things. But it's good for schools who are going to do it. But I like the fact that I want to see other schools, and I hate to say Illinois is like the whipping boy, but that's who we cover. How are they going to react to this stuff? Because, you know, yes, and Illinois is a good place. I'm going to tell you right now, fans need to understand this. there are some big donors out there within the state of Illinois. And I know there's one in Chicago and one in Peoria. I'm telling you, they're as good as anybody else in the country. So I like to continue to see Illinois step up to the plate and get some of these things. But if other schools in the conference don't, you know, like a Purdue, those schools are going to struggle. So, that I mean, if you don't, you just it's going to be the same teams because of the money, because they're going to get every five-star recruit that's out there.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is Illinois has a pathway. You can Google University of Illinois alumni billionaires or billionaires from University of Illinois, and Silicon Valley is full of plenty of them. So, you know, you just – all you need is one, but, you know, that's – unfortunately, now that's going to be a pitch that almost every college is going to need to be looking for until this thing gets ironed out. And there are some folks on the internet, you know, guys who are lawyers who are looking at this, and they're saying the long-term play is to have revenue sharing with the players, you know, getting a percentage of the TV rights while they're in college. And maybe that takes care of some of it. But I think this is something we're going to watch evolve, and I don't know where we're going to end up.
Well, it's the thing, Mike. It's the thing that Mike and Kat, it's the thing that Lane Kiffin has been screaming about since the spring and the summer. You cannot recruit the transfer portal without pay for play money. You just can't do it. It's exactly. Not possible. It is absolutely 100% not possible, and you cannot do it. And it is. It's basically. You're trying to figure out who's offering what. This isn't a, we're selling you on our education. The transfer portal is, this is what this school offered me. This is what this school offered me. Which free agent deal is better for me? That is what it's about. And you described it perfectly, Mike Cagley. There are schools that are waiting for this to shake out that need to wake up. I'll be very blunt. I believe Illinois is one of those that needs to wake up and understand that I presented the question to Josh Whitman. You guys were both sitting there during the 2 hour. If everybody is going to go 180 miles an hour down this highway and you are determined to go 75 miles an hour, you are going to get blown by. And so I believe that there are people around the athletic department at Illinois that have their act together and that are ready to go. And I don't believe that there is an attitude toward the inside the athletic department that is totally okay with the pay for play world that we now currently live in college athletics. I do not.
You certainly are going to have to walk carefully right now, because you don't want to go over the line. And because this is not that I think the NCAA is the boogeyman that it used to be, but there'll be one school that they'll probably try their best to hit hard. And you don't want to be that one school. And Illinois has the luck of being that one school. So I can see where they're a little afraid.
I've said it before. You're absolutely right. Like, there are a bunch of schools that are playing pressure luck and going, no whammy, no whammy, no whammy. Oh, thank God it wasn't us.
Well, like, I think that's, you know, like Miami right now is first on that list.
You would think.
And I think that's part of the reason why you might not see them being approached. I have no idea, but if the Big Ten doesn't approach them based on the quality of their school, the television market that they're in, the history their athletics have, if they're not approached by the Big Ten, I can't prove it, but I think it was because of their behavior in the Big Ten. Isn't willing to take that risk on
the question. I would love to pose Josh Whitman right now is, how in the blue hell do you expect Brett Bielema and his coaching staff to go into the transfer portal and get quality players out of the portal when you're not pointing up the same amount of play for play money that as the people that he's recruiting against in that same portal?
Well, those are always go ahead, Ked.
It won't work. I mean, Matt, you're 100% right. He wouldn't do it either. I mean, he wouldn't. Nobody in their right mind would do that. It makes no sense in the world. And like you said, that analogy of 180 miles an hour and going 75, you're 100% right.
But the only hope I have, I guess, is that the basketball team does a good job in the portal. So maybe you develop a blueprint on the side that has the most to gain or at least the closest to the desired goal, and then you figure it out and apply that to the other side, and maybe that's an option of what they're doing. Hard for me to know. Josh Whitman does not keep me on his speed dial, so we occasionally run into each other when I'm going into WDWS and he's coming out, or we bump into here or there. But for the most part, you know, I think he spends a lot of time not worrying about anything I say. So that's just the way it goes. But I do think, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out. But we've talked about some peripheral things here. Let's get into what our Illini fans are looking to hear. Let's talk about what I think is one of the premier groups of players. We see this player group and this player room getting stronger every day. Talk a little bit about that running backs, what we got going on here, because to me, this looks like a lot of very good players.
Better be. I mean, when you have a Brett Bielema type program, your running backs better be as close to elite as you possibly can be. And I feel like when it comes to the Big Ten Conference, Illinois's got at least one of them, and his name is Chase Brown. And the fact of the matter is I think Illinois' offense could be as one-dimensional as it was last year. And quite honestly, if you go back and Chase is still going to get 1,000 yards.
Right.
I mean, and that's – if you go back and you look at last year as to what Chase was able to accomplish without having a balanced attack, it's pretty remarkable. Then you add in the idea that, I don't know, was Josh McCray healthy and active for what, 6 games? And he was pretty darn good in like four of those. Yeah, he was pretty darn good in four of those games. You get a good Josh McCray for 9-10 games, and boy, you could get, you know, a 1,200-yard back and maybe a 800-yard back. And now you've got 2,000 rushing yards sitting there, and that usually isn't about the top three of the Big Ten Conference, folks. And it's a position group that you know isn't going to be healthy the entire 12 games of the four-month season. Let me remind everybody that the first game that Brett Bielema ever coached, Mike Epstein led his team in carries and in yards, like on the ground in a game where they beat Nebraska. Never would have said that in a million years.
Right.
Well, that guy who's third in line, Reggie Love, did really, really well in the scrimmage on Monday and has really set himself apart in the second string unit that they're running, you know, that I was able to watch on Saturday in the 2-hour media, you know, open media viewing practice. So I think they have three guys that they feel really, really good about. And I think they have a wild card element as a true freshman in Aiden Loffrey, who I don't think knows the entire offense. And I don't know if the entire install is going to be, you know, over his head by the time that the August 27th opener goes up. I do think that there's a package or two that they could throw with him. And I'm talking about the fourth running back now on this unit. So the idea that I think the future looks great with Aiden Loffrey, and I still think I watched him with the quote Devo third team element. Jordan Anderson is still a beast, everybody. Like, he didn't get any smaller from when he left Joliet Catholic High School. That future with those two true freshmen are really, really good. But I do think that if the offensive line comes together the way it can, and I saw it on Saturday come together pretty well, where if Chase is starting to actually learn some patience that he did not have as a running back, if that comes together as well as I think it could, Illinois could have probably somewhere in the neighborhood of the third or fourth best rushing attack in the Big Ten Conference, right? Probably behind Ohio State and Michigan. And I think that that's a huge Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin. I think Illinois gets into that tier if Chase Brown and this offensive line comes together the way I think it can. It's clearly on either side of the ball the best running, the best position room in the Smith Center right now is running back. It's not even I won't say it's not even close, because I think that there's linebackers that are really, really good in this unit. But I think running back's number one, and I think that if Corey Patterson can keep everybody healthy and keep everybody happy, I think Illinois is going to have a really, really good group there in 2022 and beyond. because you've got a kid who's going to play his senior season at Arthur High School too. That's really, really good. And he's going to be a true freshman in 2023. And I think going to be involved somehow, some way when he gets on campus. So the future is bright. And I think the present is just as solid right now going into 2022.
So Ked, you got a chance to meet most of these kids as they were being recruited. What do you think of this running back room?
Well, I think from a national standpoint, a lot of people are going to sleep on Illinois' rushing attack. I agree with Matt. You know, we saw how good it was last year. We know how good Chase is and how good he's going to be if he stays healthy. And I've talked about on many podcasts here before, I just love Josh. I just think he, watching him play, sometimes it's like watching a video game. Because he is, I mean, I don't remember how many times, I'm not going to sit here and lie, but how many times he was tackled and was by four or five guys and was dragging them another 5 or 10 yards. And this kid's only a sophomore. I just think he's big, he's strong, and it bodes well. You're right. It bodes well, you know, for the future. And they all have different styles. They're all different, which I really truly, you know, which I like a lot. You know, and Reggie Love came out, you know, from Trinity Catholic High School, from where Corey Patterson's from, and you know, highly touted kid, and with a lot of pedigree from the back. So you know, coming from high school. I just think it, like Matt said, we know because we cover Illinois. This is the strongest position, and you know, on the team. You know, you can argue a couple others that are probably close, and some that are surprising, which I think we'll talk about a little later. But I think if you can run the ball the way they're going to run it, you know, I still think that with this rushing attack, with this many kids, you know, that can, you know, run the ball, you're going to be able to throw it a lot better. And I think that even if you're an average receiver, I think they have enough average receivers where they can make basic plays, but I think that's going to depend on how well the line does, which we know is supposed to be the bread and butter of Brett Bielema and this rushing attack. I just look at it, and like you said, you know, you got Aiden Lowry, is a guy that turned out, you know, Iowa, you know, to come to Illinois. And so, you know, the kids are talented freshmen. And Bielema talked about a couple of the freshmen, you know, not just Aiden, but a couple other ones. So it's a talented group. You know, they're going to continue to get better. And if they, this is the one area, I guess I'll say this. If somebody was hurt, I don't say that they're not going to miss a beat, but they could replace them and it wouldn't hurt the team very much.
Yeah. It's a amazing group. And again, you know, I know people are like, I want to see, you know, something that's not just running, but boy, these guys have got some, there's some talent there. Now let's flip the script, so to speak. Maybe there's one group here we're going to talk about that's been picked apart. People have, not been impressed with them. Maybe these guys have got a chip on their shoulder, but what are we thinking about the wide receiver position? Because I think it's clear that barring injury to Tommy DeVito, we're going to have a better quarterback situation than we had last year. The running backs look strong. Offensive line has certainly potential to be very good. Is this wide receiver crew going to be able to hold up?
Well, right now it's Isaiah Williams and a bunch of, I don't know. Like, I mean, to be quite honest, I mean, people in Illinois get tired of me saying this, but there are 14 schools in the Big Ten, and Illinois' wide receiver group is 14th in the Big Ten, and it's not even close. I mean, it's that inexperienced. It's that much of a question mark. Let's just really be honest about it. And just to add to the running back thing quickly, I think that's the one thing that Barry Lunney has to figure out is how do I get my running backs involved in the pass game? Because Chase can do that. And Josh, I saw Josh McCray do it on Saturday. Like they run that bootleg stuff where they just flip it to the running back and heck, now it's an organized screen pass. You got three linemen downfield that are creating something for you. Like I think this is going to be a hodgepodge group all year long. Because right now, you know that Isaiah Williams is going to be the guy in the slot. Your outside receiver positions are, you know, Casey Washington, who's always solid and is a really, really good blocker. And if you're going to run the ball as much as I think they're going to run the ball, you're probably going to have somebody out on the perimeter that can knock somebody on their butt. And that third you know, that second outside receiver, that third receiver, when they want to go to 11 personnel, is what looking like Pat Bryant, who had a pretty encouraging true freshman season, being somebody who, you know, had a bunch of Power Five offers and signed with Illinois, you know, out of that last class that Lovie put together, and just kind of randomly picked Illinois out of Florida. And he had a really, really good true freshman season, but still hasn't had the production that you would want out of that outside spot. Brian Hightower has played really, really well, a guy that led Illinois in receiving and receptions in 2020. He looks healthy and I think can be a factor. The big question mark for me is Sean Miller. He's been in a green non-contact jersey every day I've seen him in this fall camp because of the injury that he suffered during the spring. I don't know if that's going to get taken off before they start the opener on the 27th. Brett Bielema seemed to think that that was possibly going to be the case, but he was not, I don't think, in full form for the scrimmage on Monday. So, you know, there's a setback there, but there's a whole bunch of hodgepodge of, I don't know. The interesting thing is that the big surprise, at least to me, because I thought it was at least not because of his athletic ability, but the transition to wide receiver I thought was going to take time for him. But Hank Beatty's been really, really impressive in this fall camp and did a lot of stuff bubble screen wise. And I legitimately think could be the backup at the slot to Isaiah. And I think they have something there that's kind of special in Hank Beatty. And I'm really, really happy that Illinois eventually decided to, you know, throw him a scholarship and make all of that production that he had at Rochester translate to the college level. And I think it's going to eventually. But Isaiah's got to have a big year and he knows it. I think everybody around him knows it. And I don't know how much help he's going to have because this whole group is George McDonald's going to have to make lemonade out of this whole group. Because right now, beyond Isaiah, I don't know what beyond lemons he has to work with right now. And I could be underselling everybody who just hasn't gotten a full blown opportunity, but right now it's a whole bunch of questions surrounded by what I think is a star in Isaiah Williams.
So Ked, is Matt being too cynical or do you have reasons for hope?
Well, you know, I do. This is probably the first time I was hard on the wide receiver court too, but I'm going to back off a little bit. Cause here's why I think I know the spring game was a spring game and I know, you know, coaches hide things, but I saw Isaiah, because everybody talked about the same thing. Get the ball to your best weapon. We're sitting in a press box. Get the ball to your best weapon. You're watching the game on TV. Get the ball to your best weapon. Well, they couldn't do that last year because this is me, and I know this is unprofessional to say. The offensive coordinator wasn't good enough and creative enough to do that. In that spring game, I saw Isaiah put in situations what everybody was talking about, and he was able to succeed. And I'm going to tell you, he dropped 4 or 5 passes himself that he probably would have scored on 2 of those. So I think the room is not as bad. I think if he stays healthy, I think there's some hope there. You know, I've always been a fan of Casey Washington because I think he's physical. I think he's a junior, but he's probably 25 years old. He's been around for a long time, being sarcastic. But he's a big physical wide receiver guy that I think can make plays for them. And I think, you know, throwing the ball down the field, you got your tight ends, which, you know, we talked about, but you know, on another show. But point being, I don't think it's going to be as bad. Matt mentioned, you know, Pat Bryant, you know, is another guy that I think that could help them. I think given the chance, because you're going to be so focused on the run game, you know, where the DBs and corners are going to kind of, you know, focus on helping out, they're going to make plays. This whole thing to me with the receiving core is going to revolve around Barry Lunny Jr. I think if he can, you know, manage an offense that's not so predictable and put these guys in space where they can make routine plays, you know, cross screen patterns, I think they're going to be fine. Now this is really childish to say, but like you watch videos that the university puts out. I've seen, and we've all seen some remarkable catches by guys that people consider no-name guys. And Mike, you're right. You know, this is the Rodney Dangerfield of the entire of the offense. And maybe they're tired of it. I don't think they're going to be as bad. Do I think they're going to go up there with Michigan and Ohio State, Penn State? No, I don't think so. But I think given the chance and the right offensive play calling, I don't think they're going to be as bad.
So I look at this and I will tell you, this is the hardest group for me to figure out. You can kind of go and you can kind of, you know, say, hey, this is what I think we can do, you know, that type of thing. You can feel good about, you know, the offensive line, et cetera. The defensive line may not be super deep, but got some talent. The wide receiver part needs somebody to step up. And it's really hard to predict that. But, you know, I guess the best one is to hope that the injury bug, you know, goes away. And maybe that's where you get, you know, another guy, you know, out on the field that's got a chance to make a difference. I don't know.
Yeah, Mike, I feel like George McDonald could literally pull names out of beyond Isaiah, who we all know is going to start. I feel like George McDonald could pull a Billy Martin and pull names out of a hat at the outside receiver position, and he wouldn't be wrong. Like, I mean, and if he pulls two names out of a hat and says, cool, this is who I'm starting with on August 27th when they roll out against Wyoming, George would not be wrong. Like, I mean, that's how much this group of outside receivers just aren't that much farther apart than everybody else, like in the room. So if he wants to start Casey Washington and Pat Bryant, have at it. If he wants to start Brian Hightower and, you know, Miles Scott or even Hank Beatty on the outside, or, you know, if he wants to start Kamari Thompson, who I have not seen beyond the developmental group, or if he wants to start Sean Miller, if he gets cleared for contact right on that Saturday morning, he wouldn't be wrong. Like, and so, you know, there's only there's no possible way. There's a lot, like you said it the best, Mike, like, I think I have a really good idea when they roll into Madison on October 1st, like who's going to be a big time, you know, player on the defensive line. I know who's going to be a big time player in the linebacker room. I know who they're going to hand the football to. If you asked me who's going to start and be a big time contributor by the time they get to October in that wide receiver room, again, beyond Isaiah, I have no earthly idea. And I wouldn't be able to tell you because, again, I don't think George McDonald has the luxury of not being wrong with whoever he picks, because there's just not that much separation right now. And then I think that's going to take game experience and confidence, and you just don't know who's going to light up when that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. That to me is probably the scariest thing, you know, is just, can they find somebody? And otherwise you put an incredible amount of pressure on the offensive line to run block, to be honest with you. And then when they do pass, you know, you can't get into obvious passing situations. And if the wide receivers can't get a lot of separation, now you're in a position where Tommy DeVito has to be perfect with his passes. And when you start having different dominoes all next to each other and they all require perfection, that's where you have to win the overtime game in 9 overtimes and play a lot of defense.
Right. Like, the one thing I don't want you to ever say, though, or anybody to say throughout this too, is that, boy, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Isaiah. And like, that's already happened. Like, he has to be great. Like, let's just be real about it. If Isaiah's not great at this point, I'm not trying to put any more pressure on the kid. I sat there and talked with him in Indianapolis for 20 minutes. He knows he has to be really good. Like, and so the idea that you're putting too much pressure on number one, that's not possible. He knows he has to be really, really good. And I think that everybody will feed off of how much, I mean, I don't think it'll be for lack of effort that Barry will actually try to get the ball to number one. I don't think we'll, Here's what I don't think, Mike, and I think you and I are both going to be in that box on August 27th when they play Wyoming. You are not going to look over at me in the middle of the second quarter and go, why haven't they gotten Isaiah involved? Or at least right. try. Like, I do think Barry's going to try. If Wyoming wants to take it away, that's when you have to look toward Brian Hightower and maybe a Casey Washington or an Ian, or even like an Ian Pugh or anybody on the outside to make a difference and make a play at that point. But it's not going to be for lack of effort that if Wyoming wants to take Isaiah away, they're going to be leaving somebody wide, wide open. And because I really think Barry is going to try, but I don't get the sense that Isaiah is going into this thinking there's so much pressure on me to perform. No. He doesn't. That's not how this works. He knows he has to be really, really good because not only is he probably the best guy in that room by far, he's also one of the leaders. And I really wouldn't be shocked if he's voted even as a junior, as a captain. Or as a third year player, as a captain. So the idea that there's too much pressure on Isaiah, that's not possible. He understands going in, if he's not an all Big Ten guy, or at least in the consideration to be an all Big Ten guy, then Illinois' passing numbers probably aren't as good as you need them to be.
Right, right. Ted, any final thoughts as we kind of wrap up this episode?
Well, the way I see it, you know, judging back, looking at everything, you know, that we've talked about, is that I think every team always has a star. There's always going to be that one player who's going to step up. Who that person is going to be, we have no idea. I'm talking specifically about the wide receiver room. You know, who it is, I don't know. It could be Hank Beatty. You know, we have no idea. It could be Casey Washington. Pat Bryant could be that special guy. You know, anybody, Kamari Thompson. I just think there's going to be somebody who's going to, because we look at college sports and, you know, on every team, and even, you know, we talk basketball and football, there's always that one guy, oh my gosh, I didn't think he's going to be this good. And they need that. They do. And you're right. I think there's a lot of pressure on Isaiah. You know, can you guys imagine, I'll close with this. This guy came to Illinois to play quarterback. And now we're sitting here talking about he could potentially be first, second, or third team all Big Ten, and how much pressure it is on him to be a receiver, because he was picked to be a quarterback. And now he's their number one option on offense as a receiver.
Yeah, it is amazing how the worm can turn on. And that's why I don't get too much into predictions, because these are kids. And you know, last year, there's a guy by the name of Kirby Joseph who we were like, wow, why hasn't this guy been playing? So, you know, maybe Illinois gets one or two of those at the wide receiver position, and all of a sudden dominoes start falling into place. So we will see on that, folks. We will keep you informed. We'll have another podcast later in the week where we'll talk a little bit about the tight ends and the linebackers. And, you know, get you again a little bit ready for football. As you can tell, we're all ready. We're going to be in town. The Illini guys will be hosting a tailgate in Grange Grove. We will also be at Guido's the night before the game. And the Illini guys golf tournament is going to be out at Adkins Golf Course the day before the game. And most likely you can find us, you know, Thursday evening, probably at Papa Del's, to be real truthful with you, if I know myself. So we're excited about Illini football. We're ready to get rocking and rolling here and see if Brett Bielema and his team can make it to a bowl game and start that recovery, because he has a mountain of bad years in front of him, and it's time to turn it around. So with that, folks, if you want more Illini information, and Matt kind of talked about it and Ked's talked about it in the past, if you become a member of Illini Guys, not only do you get all the news stories and stuff, but you also get the members only forums section. And that's where people do the old fashioned message boards, where you'll see a subject about a recruitment of a certain player. And you go in there and you can read the messages, and you can look for the messages from Ked or Matt or Brad, and you're like, okay, these guys know what they're talking about. And then you have a whole cast of subscribers who are in there chatting about what goes on with Illinois sports. To be honest with you, I like the message boards even more than I like reading articles. That's just the way I am. So it's a great place to be. IlliniGuys.com, $99 a year. It's a fantastic deal. And you will you get 7 days to kick the tires and see if you like it. The other thing you can listen for us is we have other podcasts. We have KED's Recruiting Roundup, where KED talks to players, coaches, and parents who are being recruited by the colleges. A little bit different way of looking at this. So it's not people talking to the coaches about what they want, or, you know, people like myself and Matt, you know, trying to talk about how the season's going, but the actual kids and what it's like to be recruited. Very unique. Of course, we have Sturdy for 30. That's Brad's award-winning podcast where he gets people from all connections to Illinois athletics, and we'll sit down with them and talk to them about some and give them questions that they haven't gotten from anybody else. And the most important thing, of course, is we do have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our radio show that just got on to a station in Quincy, WGEM. You can catch them, you can catch our show there. And we also got moved to Saturdays on WJBC in Bloomington. We have over 30 signals in the state of Illinois. So go to IlliniGuys.com. Hit the radio button, look for the city, the station, and when we are on the air so that you can listen to the show. The only thing we ask you to do, and this is important, if you can go ahead and call the radio station and say thank you for having the Illini Guys on, because a lot of those stations depend on their listeners to tell them what they enjoy. So with that, I am going to sign off, and we will talk to you later in the week with the tight ends and the linebackers. Go Illini!
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.